Hi, thanks for listening to the It's Not Just One Thing podcast series from Physio My Dog. I'm Harriet Kitkat and I'm from Physio My Dog. I'm a vet physiotherapist specialising in dogs, but I'm also a dog owner myself, and I'm also incredibly nosy and interested in knowing more and more about what we can do as dog owners, but also as therapists as to what we can do to help dogs. So I hope you find this series useful. It's Harriet from Physio My Dog here. How you doing? So I hope you've been enjoying this series so far. I'd be quite interested to know actually if you guys have been listening to it in order or whether you've just been like hopping around and listening to maybe them slightly out of order. So it's always interesting to know some feedback on how you guys are finding these podcasts. So please always share. And if you want to subscribe, it really helps. Or do a review for me. It really helps, like the ratings on things like Spotify and Apple Podcasts, all that kind of stuff. So if you have a spare 30 seconds and think about it, I would really, really love that if you wouldn't mind doing that for me. That would be fabulous. Okie dokie. So far we have talked about elbows, we've talked about hips, we've talked about the kneecap, which was the patella. So we're gonna stay with the knee on this episode, and we're going to talk about the cruciate ligament disease. Now, poor old knees, they have quite a few different things that are going on or can possibly go on with the knees, or you might hear people call the stifle. So stifle is the posh word for knee. So the luxation patella, which was the last episode, that was all about the kneecap. So we're going to talk today about cruciate ligament. So you can feel a kneecap on a dog, but you can't feel the cruciate ligament. So cruciate means crossover, and ligament obviously is a body part. It's a soft tissue body part, but it's a really tough little bit. It's got such an important job. So if you think crossover, so cruciate is like a cross. So the best way of imagining it is basically like two ropes that are crossing over, literally as a cross. And if you were listening to one of my, I think it was on the hip episode, I like to like use my hands to try and animate and explain things, which is obviously useless when you're just listening to me, but just think about the cruciate as being almost like a rope, and it has the knee's quite a vulnerable part, so it's a hinge joint, so it bends and it extends. Dogs have knees on their back legs only, so on their front legs, it's the carpus, which is basically the equivalent of our wrist. So dogs have knees on their two back legs, so unless they've had an amputation. And the cruciate ligament is right inside, so you can't feel it, but it's right inside the knee. And so there's the cranial, which means towards the head, that's at the front, and then there's another cross behind it, which is basically caudal, which means it's towards the tail. So this cross basically has to stabilize that knee joint. So you've got the top part of your leg, and then you've got the bottom part of your leg. So that cruciate ligament basically stabilizes those two body parts together. So it's got quite an important job. And so when you've got cruciate ligament disease, ultimately it means that there's something going on with that cross, with that rope-like structure. And there's two kind of different ways that, again, I'm really simplifying things, but again, I think it just helps us sometimes kind of get our heads around, and then we can start digging in a little bit more. But there's two ways that it can be affected. So it can be affected on like an wear and tear type basis, where just over time, that rope is starting to fray. And so you're just losing that little bit of strength as time goes on. So that's just like a general kind of wear and tear type. If you've got like a repetitive motion, a classic way is, you know, if you've got a dog that's running, and then, you know, how you might hear people saying, you know, don't throw balls for your dogs. And everyone's like, oh, but they love it. Yeah, they might love it, but it's actually the easiest way of damaging your dog. But that's another story for another day. But if you've got a dog, for instance, running for a ball and then landing just on their two back legs, little fact here, guys, dogs are designed to have four legs on the ground, not two. So if they're then landing at speed, potentially high impact, then on two of their back legs. That's the easiest way that we can start to like wear down that rope. So you might find, as I say, that it's a general degenerative type process where it's slowly running, it's slowly wearing down. Or you might find that actually it's pretty much an instant thing, that your dog's running along and they're doing something, like they get their leg caught down a rabbit hole. That's kind of a classic way of describing it. And then they kind of go, you hear it, a yelp. That's my dog impression of a yelp. And then instantly they're lame. So as I say, you might find a gradual lameness and it might just creep up on you, or you might find that it's a sudden gone. So dog running along, or they suddenly go, if it's a gun dog, they might be running along, going to retrieve something, and then they turn and then they come back and then they're instantly lame and they just do not want to put a weight through that leg at all. One of my clients the other day I was talking to, she was saying about how the dog literally squatted to have a wee and it went then. So, you know, there's lots of different ways that it can suddenly go. In those kind of cases, it might have been that it was slowly wearing down and then it suddenly just went. Or, as I say, if it's a bit unlucky, it's running along, it does something that's quite a traumatic event, and then bang, it just ruptures straight away. So I say, either way, you might have heard me just mention the word degenerative, which I always feel like I struggle to say properly. But we know that the D word means ultimately that arthritis is inevitable. So if it's been ongoing, you might find there's actually been arthritic changes happening in there already. Or unfortunately, if there's any kind of trauma to a joint, then we know that arthritis is safe. It's not already there. It will get in there at some point. So as you might have already heard me say, I'm going to do a separate podcast just on arthritis. So listen out for that. So as I say, something like cruciate ligament is actually quite close to my heart, because it's actually because of the cruciate ligament that I've become a dog physiotherapist, because Jensen, and I've done a separate episode on Jensen, who was the very love of my life. It was because of Jensen's cruciate ligament disease that I actually ended up jacking in my career and becoming a retraining in my 40s to become a dog physiotherapist. So I've been that owner that has had a dog with cruciate ligament and thought, oh my God. So with Jensen, it was very much that sort of slow ongoing process. And then, and he did have surgery for it, but I'll talk about that in a second. So as I say, it's sometimes instant, other times it's just a general wear and tear. So what are the signs? So as I say, if it's an instant thing, you'll see pretty much, as I say, that your dog will probably yelp, and then they'll pretty much instantly not want to put one of their back legs down. If it's a gradual wear and tear, then you'll see an increased lameness. Now, there's different ways that dogs can be lame, and they could be lame for different reasons. So some of the signs may be similar to some of the other conditions that I've either covered or will be covering. So that's why it's really, really important that we don't make sweeping statements when we see a dog who is lame, or we think, oh, they're using that leg in a slightly different way. That means they've got this condition or that condition. There is no guarantee of anything until we know a little bit more. We've done a full investigation. So quite often, as I say, if it's cute, it's pretty obvious. As I say, they're just not going to put any weight through it. As I say, other times they might be lame. You might find that your dog is kind of rotating their leg out, so their knee is going out a little bit. So when it hits the ground, to avoid putting weight through it, they kind of push their knee outwards a little bit. But again, it doesn't necessarily mean that. You might find they're rocking. They've got more of like a rocking motion. It's so dependent. So, but ultimately there will be an element of lameness that's going on in that back end. And again, like I've said on all of my other podcasts so far, you will find that the dog is changing how they are moving. So as I say, if it's a pretty much an instant injury, then they wouldn't have necessarily been changing. But if it's been a gradual process, which is quite often the case, then they would have been making some changes to how they move, their movement patterns, how they're using the different muscles, how they're just holding themselves. Everything will be different. So It's one of those, again, it's another one of those conditions where we can manage this. It's quite often operated on. Now, again, there's lots of variables as to how quickly, or if even if you if you do surgery. So conservative management is sometimes an option. It tends to be more of an option with smaller dogs, but not always. So again, we don't make sweeping statements. It's not like you do have to do this, you don't have to do that. There are always options, but it is unfortunately one of those things that is quite often operated on. And the reason being is because that ligament won't heal on its own. So what the body does is does a really good bodge job ultimately, and it does a whole load of bodging around that joint. So it's not like the ligament will suddenly just heal. Excuse me, you'll find that if you were ever to open up the knee joint and you'll see the ligament, it's actually quite white, meaning that it doesn't get very much blood supply. So it doesn't naturally really heal on its own. It's the body doing a bit of a bodge job around it. That's ultimately how a dog improves when you do a conservative management. But quite often, arthritic changes will happen more quickly if you're doing it conservatively. When they do the surgery, there's a few different types of surgical options on it. There's a couple where they put, it really blows my mind actually, they kind of put a plate further, so not in the knee joint, they actually put a plate further down in the tibia, and they kind of cut the bone and they put a plate in there, and it changes basically the biomechanics of that knee joint. It's quite an amazing type of surgery, but it's a well-established surgery. I said there's slightly different plate options. There's a couple of sutures where they put sort of almost like fishing wire around that joint. So there are a few different options. So if it is something that you're interested in, then Google, and you know you've been talking to your vet about it, then Google the different options, because as I say, it's good for you to understand what the surgery is if you've been told that your dog has a surgery option for it. But as I say, please always make sure that if you see any of this, please don't ignore it, because like anything, the earlier we intervene, the earlier we start rehab, the earlier we start to address the issue, we don't just ignore it, the better the results on a long-term basis. And I speak as an owner, so not as a physio now. I speak as an owner with all of this, because as I say, Jensen had degenerative, so it hadn't actually ruptured. It was a partial tear when he had his surgery. And I wish I had made different decisions at different times throughout that whole process, because I mean, we lost him at 5 years old, nothing to do with cruciate ligament, I hasten to add. But there were definitely some different things that I would have done for him. There would have been easier ways of us managing it. He would have had a better life through some of that. He would have probably had less pain because of some of the decisions that we didn't make. So I really speak from the heart when I say all of these things. Don't ignore it. Absolutely. And not everything has to cost money. And I think I really, 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 really want to make sure that people understand that not everything has to cost money. So I'm trying to do like little top tips with all of these podcasts. So my top tip for this, whether you suspect your dog has it, whether your dog has had surgery, or you're looking to have surgery or have you, firstly, please consult a physiotherapist. It doesn't have to be me, or a hydrotherapist, or a form of therapist ultimately. Please consult with one. If you know surgery is coming, then consult them before the surgery, because there's some like prehab stuff that we can give you. But if your dog is going to be having the surgery, then please, 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 please look out. Do your research before the surgery goes ahead, because then you can have something in place. Because again, obviously restrictions have to happen at the very beginning to protect the joint, to protect the surgery and stuff. But we obviously want to try and minimize the amount of muscle mass. Sorry, the muscle mass loss that we have. Because ultimately, if you're not using a muscle, it's gonna waste away. So there are lots of things that we can do just to try and keep that process as as smooth as possible, as it were. So please, that's my top tip, is to please consult a therapist. Your vet won't necessarily always tell you that. So as owners, we have to take responsibility for our dogs and go, okay, apart from the vet, what else? Who else can help me? So I'm going to try and finish this up quickly. So I'm trying to keep these under 15 minutes long. And my other top tip is, don't let your dog slip on any flooring whatsoever. They shouldn't be doing that anyway, but even more crucial with regards to any kind of surgery, especially in the, well, any, to be honest, any surgery, not just the knee, not just the knee joint. Okie dokie. So if you have any queries, please obviously contact me or contact another physiotherapist or Google somebody to help you if you have any concerns. But ultimately as well, if you think, if you suspect your dog has some kind of injury, or you feel swelling, you feel heat, you see them lame, please don't ignore it. Please take them to your vet, get a diagnosis. Only vets can diagnose, and then we can help you help your dog. Okay, everyone, that's another one wrapped up, and I'll see you on the next one. Take care. Bye. Thanks for listening to the It's Not Just One Thing That Will Help Your Dog podcast. I really hope you've enjoyed it and found it useful. If you'd like any more information about anything that we've been discussing, please contact me. You can find my website by googling Physio My Dog. You can also look me up on Facebook and Instagram under the same name, Physio My Dog. I look forward to hearing from you.